Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me, as always, are my fellow Strandies, Darren Moser and Philip Gilfus. Guys, this is 2020. I guess that was my best attempt at being Barbara Walters, but it wasn't very good, I know.
Wait, that's not the right.
I wish I had my 90s Star Trek chronology book, because I'm sure something had to have happened in 2020 that we're supposed to be looking forward to.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the Bell Riots, I think, are only 3 years away now, right?
Oh, okay. Something to look forward to.
Well, we're in the midst of the eugenics war?
No, that was the 90s.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. World War III?
Well, we're getting ready for World War III, I think.
Oh, man. We're not even there yet?
No.
Oh, wow. So we're not doing too hot, I guess, huh?
For now.
Hey, but you know what? Let's not jump ahead, because we will talk about 2020. But I want to... Ooh, Darren is flashing his book.
Star Trek Technology, the History of the Future.
Let us know what's happening in 2020. But before we do talk about
spoilers,
I want to talk a little bit about the year that was. About 2000.
I don't remember that episode. Oh, yes.
It would be a great title. I'm going to save that one.
Yeah.
The year that was.
It's not quite the year of hell.
You could Star Trek it. The Klingon that was, or the Tribble that was, or something.
The Kelly
like that.
Cam that was.
Anything good, Darren? You got in there?
Yes. So the closest I can get is 2018 and 2025. 2018 is when the advanced sublight propulsion technology make sleeper ships obsolete. And they have a little picture of the Botany Bay. And in 2025, the reunification of Ireland. Speaking, it was mentioned in The High Ground by Data to Picard. So we're not...
That may not be too fictional.
There's a bit of a gap there. Yeah.
I was going to say,
but in 2030, in only 10 years, guys, Zefram Cochrane, inventor of warp drive, is born.
Oh, but that's World War III. Oh, no, it's born. Okay, so we still got...
It's born, yeah.
Yeah, well. Interesting. So before we... before we even get really into it, we've already traveled off on a tangent. But Darren, I and our listeners, I want to know... spoiler free, of course, because we don't want to give anything away. But this was a big week for Star Wars.
It was.
How was it? Mixed things. I'm hearing. What is your succinct, spoiler free review? I want to hear everything in detail. By the way,
tell me. I always try to see Star Wars on opening night with a bunch of Star Wars fans. It's the best way, I think, to enjoy it. And so I got to see it at the Chinese Theater. Helped coordinate a bunch of characters out front, and it was besides being in the fourth row in an IMAX screen, so like reading the crawl, I'm literally turning my head. But besides that, it was a lot of fun. I felt it was fairly quick, which a lot of people are saying. But it does wrap everything up, which was a lot of fun. And I'm probably going to see it again this week. And I've heard also that the second viewing is much better because it's easier to absorb everything. A lot of humor, a lot of good humor. C-3PO is hilarious in this movie. You get a lot of cool use of the Force. And it just wraps up a lot of stuff. So I enjoyed it. I think overall the sequel trilogy is not my favorite of the three trilogies. But also this week we had the end of The Mandalorian, which is an amazing show. And 10 out of 10 on Darren's scale. So I highly recommend that if you haven't
Darren,
seen it.
Darren, I wasn't gonna put your feet to the fire, but you said 10 out of 10 for Mandalorian. You didn't give a rating for Skywalker, whatever it is. So what would you give that?
I would say I enjoy the fact that you can watch like The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker without having to watch The Last Jedi if you choose. I mean, there's information that are handy to know, but I'd give it a 6.5. You know, okay. It's enjoy. I don't like to rank stuff a ton because it's always subjective and often like it's like what Star Trek movie do you want to watch? Well, that's subjective on my mood or what do I want to enjoy? Do I want to watch action kind of like First Contact or do I want to do Star Trek 2 and 3 combined, you know, or just pop in the one with the whales and enjoy it. So things like that. I don't like to rank just because I feel a lot of that is subjective on the mood of the moment. But no, overall, I say go watch it. If you enjoy Star Wars, you'll enjoy it. Is it going to have the satisfying ending that Endgame did? No, but I don't. They kind of didn't prep for that, so we kind of. Again, I fall back.
We didn't have time.
Well, I still fall back on the fact that I think we're gonna look back when it's 2030, and we look back on the 20s. We're gonna see that this was kind of that beginning time of Disney owning Star Wars where they were kind of trying to figure it out. And I think they're going to hit their stride, but they haven't hit it yet.
And this was right before Disney declared war on America, right?
That's right.
Well, first they have to absorb all the other networks and then we'll see what we get.
And then they'll build the camps for us. And then that's when the bell rides happen.
The Mickey camps.
Why are they calling them sanctuary districts? Something like that?
Yes.
All right, good stuff. Philip, what about you? Anything going on in your neck of the woods?
Sure. So I've decided that my early 2020 resolution will be a rewatch of TOS. So I already started with, I guess the question I'm sure when dying is to ask is what order? Well, because CBS All Access is now, you're supposed to be your primary gateway. So it's whatever order CBS All Access has TOS in, which I think is production order because The Mantrap was first. And so I watched that the other day. Won't go through the whole thing, but I thought it was interesting because, things that are different, because we all think we know TOS. But, Lieutenant Uhura was at the navigation station. Because, there's no checkoff yet. So I thought that was interesting at the beginning of the episode. Lieutenant Sulu's still in the botany lab. So, you got the hand puppet, Gertrude. But so I thought that was kind of cool because, it's not the same that you're... There was no Scotty. So it's not everything that you're always used to. So I think that's always helps to come to it with a different eye. So it was different. It was interesting. So I'll be delving into TOS. So for any people who are trying to either rediscover TOS or TOS fans, just let me know. I'll be slowly but surely going through it.
So I was gonna ask, do you have a schedule or is it just you want to watch it by the end of the year?
Catch me. In my other podcast hat, this is obviously a new Doctor Who will be coming out, has come out by the time you listen to this. New Year's Day special. It's going to be part one, and it's going to be coming out Sundays. In the evenings, at least on BBC America, for about 10 episodes. So that'll be January and February and a little bit of March. And so got new Doctor Who. So that'll be all to catch up on as well. So a lot going on.
Excellent. Well, that's great to hear. That's a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about. We'll start, of course, as you often do. Once we've just turned the corner into the new year, let's reflect a bit, just a bit. On 2019, and in 2019, yeah, we only got one piece of new content. Well, a part of a piece of new content, and that was the latter half of season two of Discovery. But I would say that it certainly hasn't been quiet on the Star Trek front. And I don't want to kind of go through the whole list, but it was unfortunate that we lost so many Star Trek actors this year as well. It's been a rough year as far as that's concerned. But 2019, I think, kind of feels like a bit of a transition year. It feels like Discovery had sort of was maybe the proving ground or the testing ground, and then like this was the year everything ramped up into like Star Trek, back into Star Trek 90s overdrive, it feels like. So while we only got Discovery this year, there's plenty coming next year, and we'll talk about that as well. So what do you guys think about this year in Star Trek specifically? Trying to stay optimistic. Again, like I said, we lost a great many people, so it's hard to avoid that. But
optimism, Ganuel, optimism.
Yeah. Right, well, we have the short treks as well, which, of course, were just short treks. But I think... And I don't know, this is going to be a backhanded compliment as always for me, right? you know, an experiment in Star Trek. I'm sure that sounds like an insult to Discovery, and perhaps it is. But, you know, we're trying different things. We're trying it on streaming. We have this new concept for a series. We had the serialization. We had Spock. We had Pike. We had these short treks now that are kind of trying new things, animated, CGI, and, you know, playing off the popularity, the revived popularity of Pike Trek, which, you know, I don't know if I had asked you at the beginning of Star Trek Discovery, hey guys, you ever think people will be craving a series starring Captain Pike? And like, I don't know, I guess, you know, whatever, maybe, but yeah, here we are, folks. And, you know, if you listed like your top five, maybe what the fans are hungering for that's not already out there, I think you would get Star Trek Pike or something. But anyway, no doubt that there's a revival of Trek, and of course we had the remerger, right, of Viacom and CBS, which, you know, that's going to be a thing, hopefully, theoretically. And so I think it's use a sports term, which I know is foreign to all of us, it was a rebuilding year, in a good way. And so I think it set us up on a firm foundation for 2020.
Now let's get out there and win.
Show some hustle. Death to the opposition.
Death to the opposition.
I would say, while I did enjoy Discovery this year, I definitely haven't found myself like longing to watch it again, like to reabsorb, maybe in preparation for season 3 next year. But I'm very excited about Picard show coming out. And we got a lot of our first trailer. We got speculation. It was fun to speculate about, you know, what does this mean? Or, oh my gosh, Seven's in it. Or, oh my goodness, that's Hugh. Like, what's that? You know, why does Data look so weird? You know, and that's was been great for our discussion. You know, as we talk weekly about Star Trek, talking about new content, as always, you know, we got that. We got a lot of that experience talking about what's on the horizon. But I would also say, it doesn't quite feel like we're heading into the saturation levels we had in 90s Trek. Maybe because it's just there's more shows coming, but I mean, back in prime Trek time, like, remember, these were like 22, 24 episode season. Like, they were cranking out the content, and now we're getting like a fraction of that. So, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of it, again, is where you were when you watched Star Trek. Like, were you in college? Were you in high school? Were you growing up? Were you in, you know, post school? I still feel that that's really important to how you kind of perceive Trek. And it's been great seeing a lot of people go back and rewatch things. I mean, it's hasn't been any more accessible than it is nowadays with streaming services. So, while it's been a fun year with the new stuff we've gotten, maybe this feels like the new baseline. Like, we get a show or two, you know, we get some short treks, you know, there's always talk about a new movie on the horizon. But I'm just enjoying the fact that Trek is back. You know, I'm still in that afterglow of like, hey, you know, we have new shows happening. We have things. It's going in an upward trajectory. Will we escape the Earth's gravity and continue on, or will we cycle down to another dark age? Who knows? But the shows seem to be making their money back before they even air. So that's not a bad thing.
It's a good a point that you mentioned, Darren, that less episodes, I suppose, but we are getting more shows technically, because we'll have Discovery, Picard,
and Lower Decks
this year. And if you want to count short treks as sort of its own,
you combine
thing.
All three of those, Daniel, and that's like equal to one season of TNG as far as number of episodes. But I know what you're saying.
It's true.
There's more variety.
Yeah. Just on that topic, by the way. It just came out recently, I think, in an interview. Oh my God, what's his name? The guy who was quote unquote thinking about directing a Star Trek movie. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino. Yeah. Yeah. He said in an interview recently that it seems to be chilling a bit. So not that that was ever going to happen, because there's no possible way that on this planet or, you know, the next 10 that was ever going to happen. But it certainly seems to be the fact that we're not going to see it anytime soon. Although the rumor mill seems to be kind of heating up in terms of a fourth JJ movie. So we'll see, you know, we're still, it's not like you mentioned, Philip, the merger could change stuff. We have no idea what that's going to do to the whole situation. So,
you know what I would love to see? I would love to see,
I think,
the fourth movie just go time travel crazy. And I want us to like dip in to Picard and like everyone who's still alive needs to be in this movie. I don't care how you make it happen. Make it happen.
The Nexus. That's how you
do it. Oh, there you go. The Nexus. Or the Guardian of Forever.
Oh, yeah, that would work. TOS themed. So, 2019, been kind of an interesting year. A rebuilding year is a great way to put it, Philip. That's funny. And now let's move on and talk about...
Wait, are we rebuilding the ship on the planet surface with welders? Because that's what it feels like. Like, not in space, with the cool
shot. Have welders either way, Darren. Whether they're space welders or terrain welders. I don't know. Gravity welders? I don't know what you call them. Ooh. Anyways. But that's it. That's it. We're done. Hey, let's wash our hands of it. 2019's over. If you're listening to this, it's
a new start date.
20. So let's talk about what we have to look forward to. Because this is exciting. Like we just mentioned, we're getting Picard in, 20 days?
No, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picard is on the, I want to say, like 23rd the 22nd or something.
Something like that.
The Thursdays, I think, 26 or something.
The 23rd, the Thursday. Yep, you're correct.
So it's once
not
a week,
Tuesday. Right? They had a the opportunity, but you know they didn't go for it.
It's they're doing just one a week, right? Like they do Discovery.
Yes.
I would assume so.
So that's obviously the biggest. I think
keep that subscriber money coming in.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, and it's also the thing that we're holding out a lot of hope for. Hopefully, not in vain. But Picard is not only a way to bring the story forward, but it's obviously looking back into the franchise's history with one of the most beloved characters in Star Trek. And obviously we don't have to belabor that point, but I think CBS also has a lot of pressure, a lot riding on this. I think depending on the success of how this goes, we could see a lot more legacy Trek bleed into new Trek, or we can see them pivot and move towards something newer or stranger, different. But who knows, if Picard takes off, it's the runaway hit of CBS All Access, we could start to see, you know, Voyager 2 or Voyager A or something like that. And they could, so this is a pretty
maybe
big
some
deal,
sort of Q show where he just snaps around the timeline or something like that.
Oh, that would be fun. We should do a show where we talk about really obscure characters getting their own CBS All Access show or even a short trek. That'd be fun. So obviously, that's what I'm most looking forward to. What else do you guys want to see? I mean, you can mention Picard as well. Of course,
I mean, obviously Picard, and you kind of mentioned all of that. And I'm excited in the same way that you are, Daniel, where it's Seven and Hugh and legacy characters from the Prime timeline. Like, we've been wanting this for a long time, and we're kind of getting towards the edge of some of these people's lifespan, and we need to see it before it goes. But I'm actually also really excited for Lower Decks, for something that's totally different, for something that... I mean, animated has a lot of possibilities because you can animate things easier than you can create in other methods. So I think it could be really interesting what we... I mean, there's been a lot of great animated Star Wars, like, that's told really good stories. And again, if they're going to tell good stories or, again, make it an anthology pop-around show, like whatever they end up doing, I'm really excited for Lower Decks. Even just the Lower Decks concept, something... You know, the other crew, you know, the lower decks, you know, the people that aren't on the bridge that, I mean, how many times have we joked about, you know, it's like, oh, there's a red alert. Don't know what's going on. There's no screens here. So just battle stations and pray to, you know, the Great Bird of the Galaxy.
And Philip, what are you looking forward to in 2020?
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing how they shape the franchise, because, you know, the subtle things of, like, there's no new Star Trek toys in the toy aisle. And I don't know. I'm not a marketer. Because in other words, Star Wars, not to be derivative, but Star Wars is for kids. I mean, it's for everyone. But you know what I'm saying. It's for kids. And so you can find Star Wars toys. Whereas Star Trek, both Discovery.
Not as much as you would think, but yes. Like,
well, they have their own aisle, Darren.
but yeah, I don't know what store you're in. They're,
have you gone to a Walmart or a Target?
No. Yes. I have. And they do. I'm not promoting your point about Star Trek, but yeah. It feels like Disney is throwing its weight behind Frozen 2 way more than it's throwing it behind Star Wars right now.
Right. But like, you know, there's no new Star Trek stuff. And maybe it's because Discovery obviously is not a kid show. And then Picard, I don't know what the rating is, but I assume the same will be the same. And so Star Trek is then relegated. Obviously, it does well this way, but it is... Well,
maybe Lower Decks is the kid show.
Yeah, and, you know, that's sort of relegated to your, I don't know, online purchases or, you know, the StarTrek.com store, and which I know this seems like a weird thing to dwell on, but if Star Trek isn't in the larger zeitgeist through toys and blah, 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 then it's sort of this niche market, which I hate for it to be, but that's what it is, I guess. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how the franchise is handled in the future as far as... You know,
I'm still waiting for that Discovery technical manual, Philip. I'm still waiting for it.
Exactly.
Well, you'll be waiting a while for it.
Yeah, I know.
And I can't imagine Picard is going to have one either. And that's, you know, that's an interesting topic as well, but it's probably a different topic. But where is our, are any of these shows going to itch that science fiction scratch? You know, like hard science fiction. Like now with it, like, so Picard feels more like it's going to be a character show and a story, a plot driven show. Right. Where all, and we've talked about this on Discovery 1,000 times, but like we never get these one-off, but very rarely do we get these one-off science fiction episodes where they're telling just this interesting science fiction concept story. And it feels like even going deeper now, like even with Lower Decks, is the little we know about it, but like none of that is that we're not going out and exploring. I guess you could say they're doing that with Discovery, but I don't trust them for one second that they're going to do anything interesting with that concept. They're just going to be in the future. I wonder what show do we have coming up? Cause we have 12,000. We'll have that aspect to it.
Well, I wonder with Lower Decks, because it's animated and I know even, and Darren, you'd be smarter than me about this, but you know, even kid shows do have some serialization, but not that Lower Decks is necessarily a kid show, because there is going to be a Nickelodeon show theoretically, but I wonder if animated might be more episodic, or if they're just still going to be like, no.
Well, it really depends. Like I've seen a lot of shows where they do mini arcs, like a 2-3 episode story with the characters. Clone Wars did that a lot, but then you have other shows where, it was more episodic, but there's like you would still have like the season ending episodes where it's more one or two or three serialized larger story as it wraps up the season. Again, it just depends on how many episodes you get, because Lower Decks, I don't know how many it's going to have, but a normal modern television show has quite a few episodes nowadays.
And I think by its very nature of it being animated, now I don't think animated equals kid show, but it does not equal a kid show. Because in other words, I think there's still, if you want it to be an adult show, live action. If you're making it animated, you're almost by nature saying this is going to be a larger general audience, because, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't see them dropping F-bombs in an animated show, no matter who they're targeting it at.
That's an interesting point. Although, to be fair, one of the head writers of the show is somebody that came over from Rick and Morty, which is exactly
That's true. That's more of an adult swim, is what you're saying. That's true. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
I don't think they're going for that. I agree with you. It's probably going to be a much... for younger viewers, but...
Yeah, even then, that's teenagers at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, Rick and Morty, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Well, and here's a thought, though. Like, who are they targeting?
Yeah.
Are they trying to target the children of Trekkies who grew up? Are they trying to target, like, the families that grew up on Trek in the 90s? Like, you know, my, for my generation, you know, my kids – I'll show them some episodes of TOS and maybe a few from TNG, but they're not really gonna get any concepts beyond that. And you know, there's certain episodes of Next Gen that I won't show them just for the kind of, you know, they're kind of scary. But is the animated show going to be something that, like, I'll show them the animated series, you know, the TAS, any of those. Those are totally suitable for children.
To put them to sleep?
Oh,
they're not that long. They're not that long, Daniel.
No, I can't.
Yeah, no. I wish they would go to sleep. Ugh.
Kids love Tribbles, Daniel. They love them.
Especially purple ones.
pink Tribbles are the best. But yeah, no, it was just making me think, because, again, comparing again to like Star Wars, you have them releasing almost in these like, okay, now we got to get the next generation in. You know, that... I wasn't even trying that one. That was okay.
That it's on CBS All Access. You know, I don't think,
right?
Obvious. Well, again, we're not marketers, but anyway, theoretically, even teenagers, young, you know, are not going to CBS All Access. I know CBS All Access wants them to. They're not going to. So, but I think it's the Darren market, or maybe even a little older kids. But anyway, that it's the kid or the adult
you
watching.
You grew up on it in the 90s.
And then the kids will also be watching it because it's a cartoon. So it's basically something for the family. Yeah. And then you're just now hooking the kids into like, oh, the Star Trek thing. Okay. So
yeah, I don't know. I think, like Daniel said, though, I'm very excited for just a variety of Trek to be out there. You know, I don't want it to be, in the 90s, it was like, here's the ship show, and here's the station show, and here's the, you know, Far Away from Home show, and here's the prequel show. And I don't feel like we're ever going to get siloed like that again. I feel like we're going to have so much variety coming with Picard and Lower Decks and Discovery and whatever else they come up with. I mean, I'm sure they're going to eventually come up with another show, you know, after that, if things continue positively.
Yeah, I think it'll be, and this isn't a bad thing necessarily at all, but like, you know, after 2020 or even 2021, like, you have, you know, a fan gathering or a fan convention or whatever, then you sort of silo people from there. Like, you all come in the same door, but from there it's like, all right, Discovery Room's over here, Picard's over there, Lower Decks is, you know, because, I mean, you know, you could love them all, I'm sure, but I doubt everyone will love them all equally. And so, you know, these people will be like, oh, this is what's going on Discovery Season 3, and like, I don't care. This is what's going on Picard, and like, oh, yeah, Lower Decks is hilarious, you know. So,
because it's interesting, because okay, let's say you're a new viewer of Star Trek, are you getting hooked on that particular show, and then do you dive into the back catalog? I mean, that's the big thing Star Trek has for it, is the back catalog. Mm-hmm. Because versus, you know, again, like Stargate or Star Wars, where you go back to the old movies. But I mean Next Gen was late 80s. I mean, that's a long time ago at this point. So I'm just saying,
yesterday, Darren,
new viewers are not going to have been familiar with that. And it'll be, I mean, honestly, you could have viewers who'd be like, oh, this Next Gen is a lot like the Orville. It could happen.
Is Orville still on?
It is on Hulu, moved to Hulu.
Oh, that's right.
But it hasn't come out with season 3 yet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But there's a bit of a break, basically.
I think I watched all of season 1 and then stopped.
Yeah, 2 was good.
Two was good.
Meh. Anyways, yeah, the thing is, the problem here is
a lot of Trek cameos, so that means eventually we need Orville actors to cameo in Star Trek, and it's full circle.
Which, depending on how well season 3 goes, they may have more time to do those, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it's interesting, but we don't, it's all speculation, because we don't really know really hardly anything about the animated show yet. We don't know anything about Lower Decks, really.
Well, so
we have a couple of shots of the characters.
Well, the concept, yeah. There's going to be, this number might be wrong, but just go with me. There's 4 bridge characters, there's 4 main characters to us. Might be 3 or 3, I can't remember if it's 3 or 3 or 4 or 4. But anyway, and so that'll be like, you know, you'll see the bridge people, but we'll follow the 3 youngsters.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting and new, and at least it's something that's fresh, it feels like to me. I am excited for it. I don't you know, it's not like I can't wait to see it or I'm dying for it or anything like that, but it's at least a new direction for Star Trek. Yeah. And I hope, I mean,
animated and comedic in tone. So that'll be new approach.
Yes, it will be new because Star Trek oftentimes is funny and oftentimes unintentionally. So we'll see. Hopefully they hit all their marks on that one. But okay.
And who knows? Maybe we'll get a show that's not Federation based. I mean, maybe we'll get a Klingon show or a
It's called Section 31 and it's coming to
That's right. I had honestly forgotten about Section 31. Totally forgot. I'm sure they're going to make other shows. Yeah, totally forgot about Section 31.
No. I don't think they've come out with anything.
I've heard something new and I can't remember what it was, but I was like, "Oh yeah, that is still happening, isn't it?"
Yeah.
Has a writer's room. This was as of November 29th, so a month
ago. We found a lease, guys. We found a space.
Michelle Yeoh has still yet to be officially greenlit.
Which she has now shown up in... No, has she? No, never mind. I think it's someone else.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see. That show, not necessarily waited... with bated breath for, but there is plenty to be excited for, whether you're a Section 31 fan or not. And like you mentioned, Darren, maybe we'll get all these crazy ideas, and hopefully they go in 18,000 different directions. So
I think 2020 is gonna be a good year, especially coming from your perspective. In 2020, will we see a new Star Trek game?
No.
DVD, maybe Blu-ray.
If the CBS Viacom merger goes through, I'm hoping that they finally get their heads on straight with their Star Trek licensing and we get some good Star Trek stuff, including video games, including Lego Star Trek, which I've been waiting for forever for. I want some good Star Trek licensing. If Picard takes off, who knows? This could be the beginning of a wonderful thing, but we'll see. Anything else to talk about 2020, guys? Because that's all I wanted to talk about with that. But looks promising, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say it was the current era. Like, for instance, when I was thinking about what series do I want to rewatch in 2020? I mean, ultimately, I went with TOS. But I'm kind of like, you know, I don't want to be that I'm trying to be obstinate about the new era. You know, like, oh, I'm not watching Discovery. I'm not watching the Kelvin movies, you know. So then it's like, okay, well, what's before that? Enterprise? I'm like, okay. I mean, it's nothing wrong with rewatching Enterprise, but, you know, not my favorite. And so now I feel like the further back I retreat, I'm kind of like turning my back. I don't mean to, but it's just like, you know, now all of Legacy Trek does seem really old, you know, as opposed to like the new era, you know, whatever. So the JJ era, so.
Enterprise is in this weird middle place where it feels both old and new at the same time. Yeah, it's really interesting.
True. Yeah, I think I was trying to decide that as well, Philip, where it's like part of me wants to do a DS9 rewatch, but then a part of me is like, that's a lot of episodes. Maybe I'll jump into like honestly, it's been more fun when we've had homework for this show where it's like, oh, hey, watch these two episodes or watch these three. And then I do. And it's like, oh, I really, you know, I enjoyed those, you know. So maybe more of that. Maybe more mini marathons, not a complete watch through. But
we'll do our Harry Mudd episode where you have to watch the two TOS and the two Discovery.
No, that is not what I mean.
That is an interesting point, though, because, Darren, you just mentioned bringing in elements from the old Star Trek as well, you know, character here or there. And that could lead to that sort of thing where, hey, they're in Picard, we're going to, well, like Hugh was a perfect example. Right. We could watch the three Hugh episodes. And that's a kind of a cool way to get back into the back. That's why they do it, of course, but it's a cool way to get into the back catalog. Plus, get ready for the new stuff. So
I've already seen some articles floating around that are like, just kind of like what we talked about where it's like, hey, things you need to, your Picard primer, what you need to watch before the new Picard show airs, you know. And it's like, of course they're going to do those types of articles. But yeah, I mean, we could get to chapter 2 of Picard and it's like, oh my gosh, now we totally need to rewatch, you know, Fistful of Data's or something like that. So one of the Sherlock Holmes mysteries.
I'm hoping that Picard, when it opens, it starts with previously on Star Trek, and then it just does some establishing clips of Picard, and then just...
No, but it's like previously on Star Trek, but it's all next gen footage.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying.
Way
so it shows all these
establishing
clips, and then it just, you know, black screen, and then just
that's
opens
funny.
Up on...
That would be awesome. That would get me going for sure.
And now the conclusion.
See, that would be cool. Because it's, you know, theoretically the conclusion of Picard's story now, you know, for however many seasons, but
even if they did like a 5-minute stinger before the actual show starts where it's literally just clips
of
old stuff. That's a perfect advertisement for TNG, as well as, you know, to draw new people in to be like, hey, okay, this is the... I mean, obviously, they're 99.9% of people will be aware that the character exists, but at least they could be like, okay, this is where he came from, sort of thing, and they can check it out if they want to later. On CBS All Access.
I want it to be a
21st...
We're already
not a bad idea.
I want it to be a 21st century version of... I don't even know what they called the episode, but the episode they did before All Good Things with Commander Riker or with Jonathan Frakes, you know, sort of like showcasing Star Trek. And so it should just be like the 21st version of, hi, I'm Jonathan Frakes. Let me tell you a little bit about Star Trek, you know.
Or what was that meme nowadays where it's like, you know, maybe they, like their kid comes out and it's like, hi, this is my mom. This is my dad. When they met, oh, it was crazy times. It was, you know, they had me. It was a long story. And it's just like all this crazy flashbacks of...
Or they're just going to have the guy from the Marvel series from Ant-Man explaining everything that happened.
yeah, that'd be great. So get this. This guy Picard, and then he had the ship, and it was awesome. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Wait, so you're talking about like Lewis from...
Yeah. Oh, from Ant-Man, yeah.
Yes, Lewis, yes.
Jeez.
With those great cutaways, those were fantastic. So,
hey, dude, he got the ship and it separated, totally separated, and then it came together. And he went over here, and then he became a Borg, and Borg, and then they brought him back, and then Jonathan Frakes said, "What?" And then he said, "Fire!" And then but it didn't kill him, and then it came back, and
and like way across, there was this other ship, Voyager, with this girl named Seven. Well, her real name was Annika. You know?
Yeah, she was really, 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 really far, like so far away, you wouldn't even believe how far away she was. And then she came back, and then
the Romulus blew up. It was in the other universe. Actually, it was our universe, but it was in the other universe that we saw. It was our universe.
And then Spock was here, but then he left, and then he went back in time. But then he came through the wormhole first, and so he was the first. And then the Klingons got there, and then Romulus blew up. It blew up so big, and then Picard, something happened. I don't know what happened, but then he took his badge, he put it down, and he said, "The line is drawn here now," and it... Oh man!
Now it's all like boom, 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 like a Tarantino movie. But that's never mind that.
That'll never happen. He's all mad.
That would be awesome. Kind of the only way you could put succinctly enough that people would kind of still follow the concepts. Oh man, that'd be great. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we see in a few weeks. And believe you me, listeners, you will get sick of us talking Picard because we will be talking Picard for forever. And of course, Lower Decks when that comes out as well. 2020 is it going to be a good year for Star Trek fans? I hope.
A stellar year.
Stellar, I get it. But I wanted to talk briefly about another subject. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Betazoid culture in a series that I tentatively am calling "How the Heck Does This Even Work?" I don't think we really answered that question fully on that one, and I don't think we ever will when we talk about these subjects. But I wanted to do this again, and I know I only have a few minutes here after talking about the 2019-2020 years here. But I wanted to talk about the binars, and I want to know do the binars work. So let's talk about this. This society...
We just did. Philip and I just had a whole conversation about it.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. So I want to know how this society works.
Well, okay, they have a big computer on their... What do we know? Like, they have a big computer on their planet. They need it. And they all go around in pairs. Do they have male and female? I don't even know.
They talk about
one
that,
assumed,
I'm pretty sure.
Zeros and ones.
Yeah. Yeah, which, again... Just because there's two characters in binary does not mean There's a lot of things that bother me.
So when they show up to parties, people say, are you the zero or are you the one?
Which is rude, by the way.
It's totally rude. No, it's not a thing. They should say that.
You don't assume someone's...
a zero, you know, just based on... Yeah.
Then someone's watching Hercules, zero to hero. No, I'm just kidding. It's one of those alien species that, like, it's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around because it's so foreign.
But it also feels like one of those alien species that's lazily slopped together because it doesn't really make any sort of sense to me. It's like somebody heard what binary was and got the very basic version of it. And then they said, oh, cool.
They got the Schoolhouse Rock version. And then they.
Yes. Yep. What if zero was
a title? Great episode title.
And one was a person and they had to be together. Binary, by the way, is a terrible way to communicate audibly. You would not want to do that because it would just. There's a lot of problems I have with the binaries, guys. I'm sorry. They're cool purple little alien dudes, I guess. But what? How
great
do
holodecks.
They work? How does your society work? Any idea?
I get the feeling
the
like
recently, so.
I get the feeling that the computer. Well, what was that TOS episode where the computer made like a lot of their decisions for them?
And oh, the war one.
It's like Yolanda or something, where they. Well, maybe I'm confusing it.
It's a bunch of episodes. Is it Private Little War? Or is it, I can't remember.
But no, not the one where like it says who dies in the war.
Oh, okay.
But there was one where I think it was where they were on an asteroid and it was.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yolanda, for the world is hollow and I have touched the sky.
And basically it like just they didn't really have to think about anything because they just did what the computer said. So I'm thinking. Maybe that's the missing piece. The computer on Binus is a big part of the society because it's not only how they communicate, but think about it. Like you could have binaries being born or grown or cloned or probably, and then but we already know that these two are going to be a pair and they're going to do this with their life. Like that's all planned out. Like that's a program. Like that makes the most sense.
Are they like JV Borg? Is that what it is?
I was just thinking that they do have a lot of similarities with the Borg in terms of, like, their home planet is the home base, and that's, like, makes all the decisions for them. They're kind of all similar in that way. I don't know. I could see them being, like,
well, in other words, it's not a natural evolution, because, you know, you can't. And so they had to have been an organic species, fully organic species, that embraced the technological for some reason, which they're now dependent on. Fully, because if the computer goes down, they, you know, fall into formation like a cheerleading squad. And so, you know, but then I'm trying, because I haven't seen the episode in a while, so I apologize. But so it's odd that the computer on their planet can work from that distance. I mean, they may have great routers, is what I'm saying. because, you know, they were trying to save the computer, and once it went down, they went down. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, this is, to be fair, we may be, I specifically may be a little critical of this because we only get one episode where we actually even, I think maybe they mentioned binars in one other episode, possibly.
I feel like Discovery Season 3, here's your opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's just such a weird concept. Like, okay, I get the moving past natural evolution and pushing into like a technological evolution. That's kind of a cool concept.
Their industrial revolution makes ours look like crap.
communicating in binary would think be tremendously incredibly inefficient in terms of computers, but I guess I wouldn't specifically know if you're biological creatures. But okay. I mean, because they could just talk.
That's true. Again, like the Borg communicate, but I don't ever get the feeling they communicate in binary.
Not in binary. They can still transmit concepts and thoughts at the same speed, but instead of one character at a time, well, actually one character per every eight character that they communicate. That's the point with binary. It's like, it's not even it doesn't work as a language like that you would use to communicate with another being. But anyways, that's not important. It's just this weird, weird thing. It works well for the episode, I would say. I like that
episode. I think maybe the problem is maybe some stereotyping or maybe some whatever glossing, but maybe we're giving the Biners too much credit because after all, they're just, and I know Daniel.
They're not one of the big stars on the flag, Philip, is what we're saying.
No, they're just the IT guys of the galaxy. I mean, you know, they're not the highest level on the chain here. I mean, yes, they're good at what they do. Just what they do. No one said they're great poets or philosophers or anything like that. But you want a good holodeck support? They're the people to call. That's it.
Well, actually, I think their Yelp review for that last install wasn't going to, you know.
They're great gamers.
Did upgrade, but also only a 4-star because stole ship in the process. Like that
brought it to, you know, homeworld.
Right, but you're saying the installation went well. That's what we're going to focus on.
That was the job that was promised.
That's right.
So really, that's what you have to focus on. The IT people. You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this, that this episode, 11001110011, and Where No Man Has Gone Before, both feature crews of people from outside the Enterprise that come onto the ship under the guise of upgrading it or improving it, and they muck it all up. They're kind of the same episode up until that point, pretty much.
Well, it's like the ultimate computer in TOS when they upgrade the computer and ends up killing everyone on the Enterprise during the war games.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a Star Trek trope.
It's a metaphor for Windows. Be wary of upgrades.
Even the writers have to deal with computers, so I guess it makes sense that it would bleed into the episodes. Hi, I see you're writing an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. My name's Clippy. Is there anything I can do to help?
But, yeah, no, I think, it's, again, just, like you said, they, like, what is their role? Like, I can't imagine a entire starship of binary people just coordinating it, you know. Maybe they just work, you know, in holodeck.
I think two people are forgetting.
Are there some binary assistants for Harry, for Zimmerman? Because that'd be awesome.
I think there's two people who are forgetting they played a role-playing game where they were exchanged for a binary ship and served aboard there. But that's fine. That's fine.
Interesting. I'm looking at the binary page, and the concept art was that they would have asymmetrical skulls. So each one of them would have like a larger left hand or a right hand side of their skull than the other one, which is weird.
Yeah, well, see, the other thing that runs into problems because that goes into a sort of a left Twix, right Twix philosophy.
Right.
That there's going to be always a left binar and a right left binar Twix, or a zero right binar Twix. And a one binar, you know. So, like you said, do they just like create at birth and then, you know, match up or something? You know, do you swipe left?
Do all binaries have twins and you're born with your, you know, sibling?
Well,
who knows? We don't cover any of that.
No. You create one and then you're required to copy and paste the other one.
But it's a mirror. You know, it's not a perfect. It's a.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It's another one of those species that just doesn't make any sense to me. It's
alien.
A one and done. It works
right
for the episode.
Yeah, you see him, but once you don't want to think about it too hard.
Yeah. It's why the binars will never be, like you mentioned, Darren, they're not going to be one of the big stars on the flag because they're not fleshed out enough. They don't make sense enough to even build a concept of a character around. Like the Vulcans and the other ones.
Well, Andorians.
No, Andorians, of course. I'm kidding. Tellarites is what was a joke I was making, but at least those are kind of complete thoughts. Like Vulcans, okay, they're people, but they don't have, or they hide their emotions. Okay, that's an idea. And then we get more into Andorians later, of course, and stuff like that. But this doesn't even feel like a full concept to build anyone around. If we revisited Binar in Picard, you know, episode 7, what the heck would they do with it? I mean, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Like, if they're going to visit another planet that we already know of, probably not Binus. Yeah. I don't think that would be it.
And
you would think that the go ahead.
Is it a twin planet?
It should be.
Like Romulus and Remus?
It's gotta be. With twin suns. It's a binary planet, binary system. It's gotta be. It's gotta be. Although we visit it, and I don't remember seeing a twin planet, but...
That's a good point. We do actually go there. I don't know. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. It's probably more time than anybody spent on the binars in the history of Star Trek. But I just thought that was interesting, so... But I think that's it. I think that's it for today, guys. Darren, if people want to get a hold of you, where would they find you?
They can find me on my website, drscifi.com, DRSCIFI, or on TikTok, Twitch, or Instagram.
Oh, TikTok. Whoa, you're getting in with the kids, huh?
I'm what, the TikTok over 30 crowd? What is it? no, it's fun. I was trying to decide what to do there, and I think what I'm going to do is, because it's obviously more of a video platform than Instagram. I mean, Instagram has, you know, video, but it's not quite the same. I'm planning on using it to kind of just document the mechanics and the design process of the things I make, so like K2SO and things like that, and just make little videos so that if people want to see, like, oh, this is how I built this part, or this is how I thought about this, and just kind of go from there. Just make some good content and have fun along the way.
Excellent. Excellent. And real quick, speaking of Darren, K2SO, I know that you, Santa visited you over Christmas and you got...
I did. I got Jedi Fallen Order. And
have you sliced any K2SOs in half yet? Or?
Not yet. I'm okay. Only on like the second planet, so I'm going through. But I know it's coming, so I'm looking forward to it. Some people already told me, oh, once you play this game, you won't enjoy K2SO anymore. I'm like, never. I always enjoy K2SO. But yes, I've heard they're very creepy and they have a long reach and they hurt you a lot. But that it's going to be more fun. I'm just going to keep pausing my game, going into the photo mode, zooming around. Like, Darren, just play the game. No, I got to look at this. This looks great. So, and I'll give him some new lines because he's only got so many lines nowadays. So.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. And Philip, if we wanted to talk to you about what was better, 0 or 1, how would they find you?
I remember those commercials from the 90s or 2000s.
Nice.
They can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant, and they can listen to me and my wife talk Doctor Who on Time and Space.
And what is your Time and Space TikTok, Philip?
I think that's a clock joke.
Well, he starts by showing the last post he'll ever do, and then he goes all the way back to the first post he ever does.
A little River Song.
It's a little timey-wimey, clicky-wicky.
I get behind that.
But.
Excellent. And if you want to talk to me about 2020 and beyond, they can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. All right, fellas. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.